Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we're so grateful as we gather together, your body, one family, God, one baptism, one faith, God. We thank you, Lord, that today there's unity amongst this church, God, and amongst all the churches, Lord, that are proclaiming your gospel truth and lifting up your name, God. And so, Lord, in this hour, we do pray for our nation. We pray for our land. We pray for peace, God. We pray, Father God, for peaceful transition of power as the administration is going to change one way or the other, God. We do pray for your person to be in the place. The Bible says that you are the one who sets up all authority. And so, God, because we respect and love you, we will respect and love and pray for those individuals as it says in your word, God. So, God, we do pray that righteousness is exalted in our land, that godliness and goodness flows. Lord, that there is peace in our time, God, in our day, and, God, even all over the world, God. We do continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you, Father God. We bless Israel, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for giving them victory, God, as they've been attacked on all sides, God, that as they defend themselves and go after the things that would continue to come against them, God, that you would just protect them, God. May there not be loss of life, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing on the earth. God, today, as we open up your word, we pray that you open it up to us. In fact, Lord, open us up to receive it. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to have a good understanding so we can be good ground where your word is sown. May it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Today, Lord, truly we've not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, wide, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. So welcome. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher of the church. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, get us back on track with you, and we'll give you the praise. Give you the glory, give you the honor, God. Today, Lord, don't just bless us only. No, God, we ask that you bless all the churches here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet that are both preaching and hearing the gospel. We would bless all of your churches, God. Yesterday, many Sabbatarians, God, whether they be Messianic Jewish congregations or Seventh-day Adventists, God, but they're preaching your gospel truth, lifting up your name. We bless them, God. In our land, it's Sunday, God. Bless the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach, Catholic Churches, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, The Way, Citizens and Sandals, Patria, Elevate Life, and C3. God, all the great churches that are out there. There's too many to name by name, but God, you know them all by name. So God, we bless your church with favor, God. Pray, Lord God, that you be amongst your church, encouraging and strengthening. God, we pray for the persecuted church. Pray that you bless them and build them up, strengthen them, heal them, deliver them, Lord God. May they endure to the end, to the glory of God. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray all these things. Everyone agreement said? Amen. 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 Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter number 2. We've been going through the book of Romans, line upon line, precept upon precept. That means just simply verse by verse. We start in chapter 1, verse 1, and we learn some things through this time. And we're coming to chapter number 2. We're going to be in verse number 25 through verse number 29. Before we get into the word, I want to tell you a story. There was a Buddhist that went up to a hot dog vendor, and he said, "Make me one with everything." The hot dog vendor looked up at him. He gave him $20, and so he took it, and after he started going to work, the Buddhist looked at him, and he said, hey, where's my change? The hot dog vendor looked back at him and said, "Well, you should know, change comes from within." Thank you for laughing at my jokes. It was my birthday yesterday, so I appreciate it. Y'all got to be nice, okay? We're talking about what's going on within. Remember, last time we were together, we talked about circumcision of the heart. This is part number 2 of circumcision of the heart, a little two-part series, Romans chapter number 2. Let's refresh. Let's rewind. Romans 2, verse number 25. We're going to read down through verse number 29. It says this, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." Remember, the Apostle Paul has already shared with us the good news of the gospel. Good news that you don't have to die and go to hell, but that you can be saved. And you can be saved from what? From hell. From the penalty and the punishment for your sins. And so for the ungodly and the unrighteous, they readily admit, okay, yeah, I'm bad, I'm contrary, and I need this. But there was a group of people that he started talking to, and that was the moralist. They were morally good, and yet he told them, listen, you can be as moral and as good as you want to be, but you're still a sinner in need of a Savior. Now, the final group that he addresses now is the religious. And the religious were the ones that thought that they had it going on with God because they did the things externally, and even to the point where he starts to point out the Jews specifically because they had a thing called circumcision. Remember, the cutting away of the foreskin of the flesh in every male, and that showed that they were in covenant with God, that they had a special privilege and a special relationship with God. But he says, hey, if you've got the circumcision in your flesh, but you're not doing what the law says, you're a lawbreaker and your circumcision has become uncircumcision. In other words, you just voided it out. Goes on in the next verse and he says this. He says, verse 26, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? In other words, if somebody who didn't have circumcision, that special relationship with God, but did do the things that the law said, wouldn't that be counted as a special relationship with God? The answer is absolutely. Verse number 27, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? The Jews would have had to have conceded and said, well, absolutely, yes, that would absolutely be right. If I was a lawbreaker and they didn't break the law, then yes, definitely they would have the right to judge me. But now he says something that I believe that probably upset the Jewish listeners at this time. He says this in verse number 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, verse 29, but he is a Jew who is one, look at this, inwardly. Everybody say inwardly. And circumcision is that of the, what's that word? Heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, I want to just rewind all of our thinking and remind us of things that were said. We talked about this, and I would encourage you, if you didn't get a hold of last week's message, get a hold of it online, listen to the podcast, or make sure to catch up with us right where we're at. There's a lot of information in there, but a quick refresh for all of us is that we learned that religion and rituals like circumcision and even baptism presently are meaningless without the reality of faith. If you're just going through the motions, then hey, all you did was got wet when you got baptized. But if you have a heart of faith that says, hey, this is an expression of what's already gone on in my heart, now what are you doing? You're expressing what took place in your baptism. We live to please God and not just go through the motions and we try and look good to man. That's not our aim. We're not man-pleasers, we're God-pleasers. And it's the heart that matters. Therefore, today we're going to continue to learn the principles about circumcision of the heart. And the first principle that I want you guys to take a look at is this, that our heart is our responsibility. Our heart is our responsibility. Now you might stop me and say, well, wait a second, Pastor, hold on, because you were talking about the circumcision of Christ last week. And you were saying that Christ did a circumcision. He cut away the flesh. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't do it on my own. I had to surrender all my heart and life to Jesus. And then he cut away that circumcision of the heart. He cut away the flesh. That's no longer me. I'm not that old sinner any longer. I'm a saint now. He took out the heart of stone, and he gave me a heart of flesh. I couldn't do that. That had to be Jesus' work. And I would say a hearty amen. Absolutely, yes. I would be in agreement with that. But while salvation is a work that God does in our life, sanctification is a work that we do with God in our life. And we have a responsibility ourselves to take care of our hearts. That's why the book of Proverbs says to guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We have to pay attention to what we're paying attention to. We have to look at what we're looking at and listen to what we're listening to. We have to guard what's going on in the inside of us, because Jesus said it's out of the heart that evil things proceed. It's not what goes into a man, but what comes out of a man that defiles him. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and fornications and adulteries and murders and uncleanness and all these different laundry lists of things that he went on to talk about. And so our heart is our responsibility. Yes, you got saved. Yes, you are a saint. Yes, you are sanctified, even set apart to God. But that process of sanctification is setting yourself apart each and every day. And that's our responsibility with the power of God on our behalf. Let me show this to you in the book of Jeremiah, okay? Back to the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter number 4. Jeremiah chapter number 4. And even though we're going to read some verses that are written to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, you might say, well, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a part of the men of Judah, and I don't live in Jerusalem, so this obviously doesn't apply to me. While there is one interpretation of Scripture, I want you to remember there are many applications of Scripture. And this, even though it was written thousands of years ago to a specific group of people with a specific prophetic occurrence that was taking place at that time and meaning that was going to happen, it still carries meaning for each and every one of us today. We can learn the spiritual principles of God and apply them to our life. Jeremiah chapter number 4, and we're going to read verse number 3 through verse number 4. Let's take a look at it together. It says this, for thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Look at what he's saying to them. He says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Now, I want you to notice something. God didn't say, I'm going to break up your fallow ground and I'm going to sow away from the thorns. No, he says, you. This is what I want you to do. This is a command from God. Break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. You know, this sounds very familiar for some reason. Didn't Jesus tell the parable of a sower who went out to sow seed? We found out that that seed was the word of God. And the word of God that was sown, some of it fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air, which symbolized the devil, came and ate it up and took it away. Then there was other that fell on shallow ground, and because it didn't have any depth, when the sun rose, persecution for the word's sake, it withered up and it died. Then there was others that fell among thorns. And those thorns represented the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. So here God says, hey, I want you to guard your heart, because the word is going to be sown into your heart. And so you need to develop a heart that's tender and ready to receive. You got to break up the fallow ground. It can't be that hard, stony wayside or that shallow ground. No, you got to plow through that. You got to break through. I want you to do the work. I want you to break up your fallow ground. And then when you sow the word, don't sow it in the midst of the cares and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things. No, you sow where? On good ground, because your heart is your responsibility. I'll take care of the word. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, circumcise yourselves, where? To the Lord. Once again, Jesus Christ circumcised you with the circumcision of Christ in the Spirit. He cut away that flesh, but now here's our side. Everything has a God side and a man side. So our side is that, hey, just as God cut me off from those things, I'm going to cut myself off from those things. God did it in the Spirit. I'm going to do what I can do in the natural by the power of the Holy Spirit. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. John Flavel said this. He said that heart work is hard work indeed. But it's important for us to develop our hearts so that we can receive the word of God. We've got to break up the fallow ground. We've got to pray. We've got to read the word. We've got to continue to come to church. We've got to strive and work hard at developing our heart to listen and to hear. Sometimes that means getting alone. Sometimes that means getting quiet. Sometimes that means getting into a place where it's just us and God and learning from the things of God. That's why it's important that every day you take time to get with God. Maybe it's the first thing in the morning. Maybe it's the last thing at night. Maybe it's at lunchtime in the middle of your day. Whenever you have that alone time that you can go and pray to your Father and be with Him and just let Him tenderize and soften and water your heart. But also don't sow among thorns. To watch the things that are coming and creeping in, those cares and the deceitfulness of other things, the desires that come at us, we have to develop those things. You know, it was funny because we were doing the podcast this past week, and I was talking to Pastor Antonio, and he made a statement, and it caught me a little funny when he said it, because he said, the tearing away of the flesh. And I said, wait, hold on, because we're talking about circumcision. Circumcision isn't tearing away. Circumcision is cutting. It's intentional, and it's precise. Think about that for a second. It's intentional and it's precise. Nowadays, it's done with a scalpel. Scalpel is a very fine instrument, very sharp, and there's an intentional cut that they make to cut away that foreskin of the flesh. And it's the same thing in our lives. When we're developing our hearts, we have to identify with intentionality, what can I cut away from my life? If Jesus Christ has done a circumcision, if I'm going to guard my heart, and if I'm going to do a circumcision and circumcise myself unto the Lord, how do I do that? It has to be with intent, and it has to be with purpose. It's got to be something that's precise. Now, there's some easy things to identify that we can cut away. Hey, here's a big one, right? Sin. Let's cut the sin out of our lives. Easy, right? Jesus said it like this. He said, if your right arm causes you sin, cut it off. Now, he's not talking about amputation, all right? He's using hyperbole. He's giving you an expression that's shocking and that's so extreme that you get the point when you hear about it, okay? He said the same thing about if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. In other words, if you're looking at the wrong thing, stop it, cut that off. For some of you, that might mean if you're looking at the wrong thing on your smartphone, you need to get a dumb phone, right? Get a flip phone, okay? That just might help you to cut that off, okay? You don't have to pluck the eye out. You can just, hey, I'm going to just get rid of this. Maybe it's getting rid of a streaming service that you find yourself watching the wrong movies late at night. I'm going to cut that off, okay? For some of you, it might be that, you know, there might be a relationship that every time you get together, you're not married, but you end up in the bed together, and you realize this is wrong, and we need to cut this off. No, not cut, literally, okay, just cut off the relationship, okay? going to cut off the relationship. I'm not even going to make jokes right now. We're just going to move right past that because they're all fine through you just know me and it's just happening. Okay, let's move on. But you got to cut the relationship off. Maybe it means deleting the number out of your phone. Maybe he's having the conversation, hey, we can't continue like this. If we're not going to get married, no ding ding without a ring ring, I'm out, you know, like we're done with this relationship for now. If you're still kicking it with your dealer and they continue to hand you freebies and you find yourself using it, you got to cut that relationship off. You see what I'm saying? Those are easy things to identify. We know we need to cut those things away. Maybe it's cleaning up your mouth. You got a foul mouth and you realize that the Bible says, let no unclean communication proceed forth from your lips except that which is necessary for edification. Man, I'm not building people up with these curse words. I'm breaking people down. And so I need to cut that off. Those things are easy to identify. But what about the precise, intentional things? You know, I've heard it said that the good is the enemy of the best. There might be things in your life that are not necessarily sin, and they may even be good things. You know, I just need to turn my mind off, and so I'm going to go binge watch Netflix all day long. And that might be okay to get your mind off. It might be okay to relax. But then I don't want to hear, man, I have no time to spend with God. I just can't find a time to do quiet time. Pastor, I wake up tired, and I'm rushing to get to work, and then at the end of the day, I'm taking care of the family and everything, and I have no time to get with God. And you just binge watch six seasons of whatever show is out there, some stupid love show or reality show or the home decorating shows that we all watch, right? Because we just want to turn our mind off. Maybe it's not a bad thing. It might be okay. It's good. It's all right. It's a good show. That's great. The good is the enemy of the best. Because we might need to cut some of those things off. How about this one? Oh, they dressed their dog up for the 31st. Oh, that's cute. Hey, look. Oh, look what they had for lunch. I need to go there. I'm going to take that picture too, and I'm going to get that because that looks good. You get what I'm saying? Might not be bad. Might not be looking at the wrong things. But, you know, I cut social media out of my life because it's a distraction. It took up too much of my time. It took up too much of my mental capacity. I was wondering, is anybody looking at this? What should I put out there that someone will look at? Will they like it? Will they like me? Oh, my gosh. Am I insecure? I am insecure. I need to cut that off, right? Get it out of here. If I'm thinking about what picture I'm going to post, rather than being in the moment, I've got something wrong in my life. The good is the enemy of the best. It was taking me away from God rather than bringing me to God. It's time to cut that off and cut it out. Because your heart is your responsibility. You say, Pastor, that's going to be hard. But listen, that's why God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're not in this alone. You've got the great physician's hands to guide you as you go through this. God will give you his power to overcome those things, whether it's sin, which sometimes sin can be really hard. Why? Because my flesh wants to do it. I want it. Ah! And yet, there may be some things that are not sin that are good that you say, well, what's the problem? What's the point? And God is saying, hey, will you allow me to make this cut? Will you allow me to help you to do this so that you can grow stronger and you can be healthier and more connected and close to me with nothing in between? There's a story in the Chronicles of Narnia. Anybody remember the Chronicles of Narnia books? You need me to read those as a kid or read them to your kids? Man, I love those books. Even as an adult reading them to my kids, I absolutely love them. Remember The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Great movie and great book that they put together. And there's a part in the book where one of the characters by the name of Eustace becomes a dragon. Now, I don't have the time to tell you about how he becomes a dragon and all that. You got to go read the book, all right? Or watch the movie. But he becomes a dragon. And so he doesn't want to be a dragon after a while, and so he decides, he goes to this, there's this little pool of water he wants to go and bathe in, and he can't get in there as a dragon, so he starts to think, well, maybe I can become a boy again. So he starts to scratch away, and he takes his talons, and he starts scratching against the scales that are on him. He gets some scales off. It feels good as he's doing it. He's like, man, this is going to be good. And finally, he gets this whole layer off and away. He goes, and he looks in the water, and he's still a dragon. He thinks, oh, man, that didn't work. And so he goes to try it again, but this time he goes deeper. This time it's uncomfortable. This time a little bit of pain associated with it. And he keeps scratching, gets another layer off, and he feels good, and he goes back to the waters, and lo and behold, he's still a dragon. And he starts to cry, and he's starting to wonder, am I going to be a dragon forever? And just then, the character that represents God, a lion by the name of Aslan, shows up. And Aslan starts to talk to me. He says, do you want to become a boy again? And he says, more than anything else, I want to bathe in that water. I want to become a boy again. And so Aslan says, okay, but you got to let me do this. And so he says, all right, and he lays down, and Aslan takes out his claw. And he says, he cut me so deep, and it hurt so bad. C.S. Lewis explains it like peeling off a scab. It was painful, but my goodness, it was so satisfying. I know that's a gross illustration, but I didn't use it. C.S. Lewis did, all right? But he says it felt so good, and then he takes him out of that dragon skin, throws him into the water, where he realizes that he's a boy again. See, you're not in this alone. If you will allow the power of the Holy Spirit, it might hurt, it might cut deep, but my goodness, if you can identify those areas, if you can see those things, whether they're sin or whether they might be the good thing that's getting in the way of your relationship with God, your heart is your responsibility, and it's time to make a cut. Even if it hurts, my goodness, it's better to cut it away and be close to God. Now, there are some things that we need to cut, but there are also some things that we need to keep. Any men can identify that if you were getting circumcised, you'd say, don't cut more than you need to. But by faith, we would say, don't cut any less than you have to. Get rid of the things that need to be gotten rid of, but there are some things that need to stay. And it's that intentionality that we not only cut, but we also keep. So what are some things that we need to keep when it comes to our heart? If our heart's our responsibility, what do we keep then? In this place. Well, first thing is this, is keep a faith-filled heart. While you're cutting away and removing, let what remains be faith. And not just a little bit of faith, fill up with faith. Get as much as you can. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the Word of God. And so that's why we tell you to read your Bible. That's why we tell you to pray and listen to the word of the Lord. That's why we tell you to get to church and hear the preaching of the prophetic word of God, the very oracles of God that are coming your way every time we gather. Doesn't matter who in the pulpit is up here. God's got a word for us, and we need to hear the word of God because I'm building faith. I'm filling up on it. I'm believing God, and that's what needs to remain. We need to cut away the things that don't belong, but fill it with the things that do. And as we do, out of that heart of faith will come the good things that really matter. Just like Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds evil things. Listen, if you're filling up with faith, my goodness, then good things are going to come out of your life. Let's take a look at it in the New Testament. Once again, turn with me to the book of Galatians. Past Romans, you'll find 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then you'll find Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse number 6. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I like the way that it said it in the English and just how it expressed it for our modern day times. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. You guys there? Anybody not there? All right, we're there. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. Once again, reading to you from the New Living Translation, says this: For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. Now look at this last sentence. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Notice the external, the outward ritual, circumcision. He says, that doesn't matter. What matters is faith expressing itself in love. What's love? Love is personal self-sacrifice for the betterment of someone else. Think about this for a second. Think about it. Anybody before you had a child said, I need to know how to raise my child. So you went and read the California Penal Code to figure out what they had to say about child raising, about child abuse, about child neglect, child support. Did anybody, before you had a baby, go and read about how to, one person did? Okay, you did, really? That's amazing. You're the only person that I know of that before you had a baby read that, okay? Everybody else, man, we all just had children, right? But what happened, doesn't matter, mamas, how bad the pain was, how much that child kicked you, all of your organs on the inside, how much you couldn't breathe because they were taking up your lung space, how much pain you went through in labor, could have been 2 days, 3 days, 6 days, whatever it was, back pains, Braxton Hicks, close calls, all that kind of stuff. Man, you could go through all that, have the worst pregnancy, the worst morning sickness, but when that baby comes, what happens? Your heart just melts. My baby. Amen, ladies? You know how it was. My goodness, you're bleeding, cut open, all that kind of stuff. You didn't even care. Just give me my baby. Why? Because you didn't need the law to tell you how to raise children. You needed love to guide you in raising children. Are you listening today? See, it's the same thing with God. When we fill up with faith, when we fill up with the Word of God, when we keep those things and let them remain in our hearts, then what's going to happen? It's going to be expressed not in the law. It'll be expressed in love. Even though the Bible does tell us how we should treat one another, if you're operating in love, guess what's going to happen? You're going to treat people right. Because the Bible said the two great commandments, here's the law for the Christian now. We don't have all these rules and regulations, okay? Even the Ten Commandments are fulfilled in these two statements. Here's one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of it is fulfilled in that. If we will just operate in the law of love, what matters is not circumcision, external things, it's not the religious rituals and traditions of man. No, it is simply expressing our faith through love. What we believe should be expressed through actions of love. What does that look like for you? Maybe it's going to work in the morning and grabbing two coffees instead of one and leaving one on your coworker's desk. Maybe it's when you're mowing the lawn and you're going across, making those nice cross lines on your grass, making sure everything looks good, that you just keep going to the neighbor's lawn. Just take care of them too. Maybe it's, hey, if you need some help, I can be there around 3. That might be faith expressing itself through love. How about this one? Tell me the whole story. I want to hear this. How about this? I can help. I'm here. See, when your faith is out there, when you're believing God, when you've got God's word, I can't tell you how many one another's there are in the New Testament. As you read through it, love one another, bear with one another. You know, it can be hard to love people because sometimes people are hard to love. Now don't say too hearty of an amen because sometimes you're hard to love. I know that because I'm hard to love at times too. And yet God loves us and he bears with us and he tells us to bear with one another. And if we can walk in faith, trusting the word of God, guess what? Then we can love people that are unlovable. We can love people that are not like us. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't think like us. Guess what? Why? Because our faith is expressing itself through love. God's not finished with them yet. Therefore, I'm going to bear with them a little longer. I'm going to watch and see what God does. I'm not going to judge anything before it's time. No, I'm going to commit judgment to Jesus Christ, who shows me what judgment is, and I'm going to love them through what they're going through right now. What matters is faith expressing itself through love. Second thing that we keep, what else do we keep? Not only do we keep a faith-filled heart, but we have to secondly keep a faithful heart. Let me say it to you like this. A faith-filled heart will be a faithful heart. If you're full of faith, guess what? Then faithfulness is going to come out of you. What does that mean? That means that you're going to show up again, consistently, all the time. You know, I will take someone who is faithful over someone with talent or ability or skill or resource or wealth or smarts or any of that kind of stuff any day. Why? Because faithfulness will trump that every time. Because listen, if you got someone who's smart but they're unfaithful, you can't rely on them. If you got someone that's talented but they don't show up, what good is that talent if it's not being used, right? Faithfulness is what God is looking for in his people. And when you have faith in God, then you should be faithful. So when we cut away those things, hey, there's some stuff that's got to remain that's important. What's important is faith expressing itself through love. That consistently expressed is faithfulness. When we remain, when we stay faithful, when we keep going with God. You're there in Galatians. Turn back with me now to 1 Corinthians. Right after Romans, you'll find 1 Corinthians, and this time chapter number 7 and verse number 19. In the context of these verses, the Apostle Paul is answering questions to the church there in Corinth, and he's talking to them about marriage, he's talking to them about slaves, talking to them about circumcision, all these different things. And right in the middle of all these statements that he's making, he makes a profound statement that applies to what we're talking about today. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You're welcome to read along whatever translation you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 19. Look at it with me. It says this, "For it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised." That sounds a whole lot like Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6, doesn't it? So he says, it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep, there's the faithfulness, is to keep showing up consistently, is to keep on faithful, to keep what? God's commandments. And his commandments, the Bible says, are not burdensome. No, the commandments are there to bless us. Commandments are there to help us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourselves. We have to cut out things that we do that go against God's commands. Some would say, don't cut. I want to keep doing it. I'm a Christian, but. Listen, you are a Christian, but if that's your thoughts. You need to renew your mind to the things of God. There's a story of a ruler who, I don't know if this story is true or not, but there's a story of a ruler who united all the tribal peoples of the land and had won many wars and finally had created a nation. And in all of his lifetime, he had never had time to marry because he was always going out and coming in and coming back and working with people and that sort of a thing. And so he never had anyone that could take the throne after him. And so after he'd created this great nation, his advisors came to him and said, "Hey, king, you need to get married because you need an heir to take your throne. If you want this to continue on, someone needs to rule in your place." And so he said, "Okay, I tell you what, you guys go travel throughout all the regions around us, and I want you to go and find a suitable bride for me." Well, they went all throughout the region. They went all throughout Europe. Finally, they came to Greece. And the king of Greece had a daughter who wasn't betrothed. She was beautiful, dark eyes, very smart. And so they said, would you agree to giving your daughter in marriage to the ruler of this new land? And he said, "Absolutely, I would, but with one condition. He needs to become a part of the Greek Orthodox Church. And so he needs to be baptized into the church and become a member of the church." And so they brought word back to the ruler, and the ruler was happy to concede with that, and he agreed to that. And so they sent some priests out and taught him the catechism, and he went through everything and started to get ready to go get baptized. And 500 of his personal guard came with him for the occasion, because they knew that there was going to be a wedding, there was going to be a celebration. And so here they come to the Mediterranean Sea, and the king is getting ready to go out and get baptized, and all of his guards says, "Well, if he's getting baptized, we're getting baptized too." So they searched throughout, and they found 500 different priests, and they went and taught them a quick catechism, and they made sure that they understood what they were doing. And they told them, they said, "Okay, if you get baptized, you got to give up being a soldier, because we can't have people that are members of the church that are going out and murdering people." And so after a little bit of diplomacy, they decided to find a remedy to this thing, because they didn't want to give up their loyalty to the king, but they were loyal to the king, so they wanted to be baptized. So what they decided to do is that before they got baptized, they would grab their sword out of their hilt as they went down into the waters, and they would leave their arm up out of the water with their sword. And with the unbaptized arm, they would continue to kill, but with their body, they were a part of the Greek Orthodox Church. Now, how many of you know that doesn't work? See, it's not about the external things. It's not about the rites and the religious rituals. But it's about the reality of faith on the inside, about being faithful to what God commands of us. We can't have an unbaptized eye that looks wherever it wants to look and look at anything that it wants to look at. We can't have an unbaptized ear that wants to continue to listen to gossip and slander. We can't have an unbaptized mouth that decides to say whatever it thinks and to continue to speak perverse things. We can't have unbaptized feet that are swift to rush into evil, or an unbaptized hand or arm that continues to reach out and do harm to its neighbor. No, God, if you're going to baptize me fully. God, if you're going to wash me completely. God, if you're going to cleanse me to the uttermost. God, if you're going to cut away and circumcise me, then God, cut it completely away, and God, get it away from me, because God, I'm wholly devoted to you. I will be faithful to the very end. That's what this is about. We need to keep a faithful heart, completely faithful. The cut has to be completed for us to remove the flesh. Jesus said that if we love him, we would keep his commands. I would suggest that means keeping them completely, leaving nothing out. Remember that our heart is our responsibility. So we need to remove the flesh and fill up on what matters and keep those things that need to remain. What do we keep? We keep a faith-filled heart, but we also keep a faithful heart. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, and let's go before the Lord together in prayer today. No one getting up, no one leaving during this time. We just want to take a moment in the presence of God, and I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, say, "God, what are you speaking to me?" And then listen for his voice today. As you hear the voice of God speaking in your heart, it might sound like the voice of your conscience. It might be a gentle little whisper leading you in the way. Make sure to write it down. It might be a word, a phrase, some instructions, or even a scripture reference. You're also welcome to share with a faithful friend, a spouse, someone that you trust who brings accountability to it, because they're going to ask you about it. They're going to remind you of it and hold you to it. But also it brings agreement. And there's tremendous power in our agreement. Bible says that when two of you agree is touching anything on the earth, that it's agreed upon in heaven. That means it's as good as done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Once again, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the work that you've done in our lives. The circumcision of Christ that cuts away the flesh. But God, help us in this struggle that we have with sin and the flesh, God, to circumcise our hearts, to circumcise ourselves to you, God, to be faith-filled and faithful in all of our ways for all of our days, God, to the very end. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everybody in agreement said, amen, amen, amen. Can you just give the Lord a praise as Pastor Antonio comes? Pastor Antonio,
come on.
Would you come?
So good, so good. Love you, Pastor. Good word. Man, I know I got some notes and some questions, some thoughts for this week's podcast. Can't wait. Man, what a good word. Amen. Aren't you guys glad you came to church today? Come on, our heart is our responsibility. And man, we got to stay faith-filled and faithful in the house today. Amen. Hey guys, what we want to do now, don't leave, don't rush out of here, don't go anywhere. Service is not over, but we want to spend some time and we want to get excited as we bring our hearts before the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings this morning as an act of worship, as an act of praise. What a privilege it is to partner with Jesus. Hey, I want you to pay attention to these screens because, as you know, as we say all the time, when you bring your tithes and offerings, not only does God allow us to do that in partnering, but we are building our house, not just this ministry, our city, our region, and really the globe. And I want you to see how your impact on our city and our community went this past week as we celebrated Trunk or Treat.
Hi, this is the Hurtado family here at the Trunk or Treat at the Rock Church. We're just loving the environment, the Trunk or Treat that we have here that we're able to celebrate with and spread the word of Jesus too at the same time to enjoy, partake, and get candy for the kids and just come together as a family. You know, we're instead of going door to door, we're able to do this as a community, a safe environment, and really appreciative of that.
I love Trunk or Treat because we can come and spread the gospel, and we can share that with maybe neighbors and friends, people in the community that usually don't hear the gospel, and hopefully we can invite them and encourage them to come back to church.
If you served this past week, maybe you decorated a car, or you were an usher, or a safety team, or just one of our greeters, or SPTs, all kinds of opportunities. Come on, listen, did you volunteer this week? Can we give it up for them? What an amazing night it was. It was a fun, safe place to gather. I know I had a part in it. I did over 12 altar calls, and that was just the first shift. So I'd venture to say that we did over 20 different altar calls and opportunities for people to give their life to Christ on that night. So man, what an amazing thing we get to do when we partner with Jesus in this area of our finances. Hey, as you give today, maybe you want to give by cash or check. Go ahead and raise your hand. Our ushers would love to get an envelope into your hand. Maybe it's text to give. On the screen right behind me here, you can see that you can zoom in on that QR code, text to give, give online right through our Rock Church app, or even those seat backs in front of you. You can just tap on that. Isn't that kind of crazy? Tap on that. It'll make it simple and easy. And man, what an amazing privilege it is I get to have in building the house with you all. Let's pray today over our giving. Heavenly Father, as we give today, Jesus, we do what your word says. We give with a cheerful heart, Lord God, knowing that we are not the ones who provide for ourselves, but rather you are our provider. Jehovah Jireh, our provider, is who you are and what you do, Lord God. And so we are so grateful, Lord God, that we get to partner in faith and in generosity as we bring an offering today into your storehouse. These tithes, these offerings, these gifts are unto you to build your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, we have a gift that we maybe you got. If you are on our email list, I want to encourage you guys to subscribe and not unsubscribe from our email list. We give you all these dates and important things we have going on. But this past week, we sent out an email with, it was called a free will. It's called a free will. And in that is not only information on how you can partner in different ways of generosity, but access to an explanation of how you guys can get a free will and register that for you, for your family, and do those things. So follow that link, or if you want more information about it, reach out to us. Again, that is a gift for you as being part of our community here at church, and so follow up on that email. Hey, yesterday was a big day. I don't know if you guys have heard the little Easter eggs in there, but yesterday we got to celebrate Pastor Dan's birthday. Come on, don't we love Pastor Dan? Hey, Pastor Dan, step out from behind there. We want to sing to you. Come on, don't we want to sing to Pastor Dan? Not just me, all you guys, we're all going to sing. Step out into the light as we sing. Come on, can we do that? Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Been around the Rock any long length of time, you'll know we have a special song that we like to sing around here. So if you know it, sing along. Here we go. One and a two. One, two, three. Hey, you're a special person. There's no one like you. Your name is Pastor Dan, and we love you. Jesus died to save you, and he loves you too. You're a special person. You're a special person. You're a special person, and we love you. We love you, Pastor Dan. We're grateful. Hey, say some, send him some birthday love at the door as you leave today, man. We just love Pastor Dan, and we honor you today. Hey, a few more announcements, and then we're going to get out of here shortly. Any ladies in the house? Come on, any ladies in the house? Hey, this Thursday at 9:30, we have our Women Rock AM, our Women's Bible Study. There's even childcare for ages 0 to 5. No excuse, ladies. If you are available on Thursday morning, what are you doing not in the house? Get here 9:30 a.m., Youth Auditorium, be here. Hey, and then if it's a Women Rock Thursday, then you know it's a what? Young Adult Friday. Any young adults in the house, we'd love to have you. Youth Auditorium, 7 p.m., this Friday, man, we are so grateful to do all these amazing, have all these amazing opportunities to get plugged in, get around people of faith. Hey, we will see you here this week. Is that good for anybody? And then this evening, come on, somebody say 6 p.m. Pastor Joseph's going to be in the house bringing in a special word. We're so grateful to have him here with us tonight. Make sure to get here. And then missions interest meeting. Hey, if you're interested about our missions trip, I got to be a part of one this past summer, and I want to encourage you to find out about what 2025 mission trips look like. The dates are right there on the screen behind me, the 11th and 12th, different opportunities for you to just zoom in on that QR code. You'll get the link, or give us a call, and we'll get you all that information. And maybe God wants to send you across the globe to tell somebody about Jesus. I know it will change your life. Amen. And then we have our last one. Mary's night. Any married couples in the house? Come on, that's right. We are so excited. Melissa's here in the front row. Pastor Brian and Melissa are going to be joining us. We've been doing this a couple years, and this is your guys' first time, right? So we're excited to have them with us. Mark your calendars, November 15th. Hey, we even have some childcare. It's limited, so make sure you get here Friday the 15th, 7 p.m. in the Youth Auditorium. Married couples, it's our last one of the year. And, man, we are pumped to see you there, all right? That's it on my list. I do want to say this, though. You're going to see a video here. Today is the last day to get the best price for GNO, so make sure to do that right after service. Pay attention to the screens.
Merry Christmas, Rock Church family. We're so excited. This is the best time of the year, and we have so many amazing ways to get involved and do life together during this beautiful season. So, Pastor Michelle, can you tell us a little bit about Project Christmas Tree?
Project Christmas Tree is an amazing opportunity that we have as a church to give to the youngest members here at The Rock for those families who are potentially going through financial hardships.
I loved Project Christmas Tree because my kids we would go and pick an ornament off the tree, and each of them would pick one according to their age or their gender, and they got to get involved. So that is a really cool way for families to get connected together. There are several ministries that you can get involved in this year. Just go right on out to the foyer, and we have cards available for you. And on the back of the card, it has everything that you would need if you're out shopping with your family. It's a really great way for you to get involved during this Christmas season. Rock Church, go ahead and take a look at what you get to be involved in here at the Rock Church during this Christmas season.
The Convalescent Ministry will take hundreds of gifts filled with love, joy, and Christmas cheer. Our Homeless Ministry will reach out to those in need of the basic necessities of life. The Rock in the Streets Ministry will take hundreds of Christmas stockings to the streets of the Inland Empire. The Prison Ministry will donate items to various prisons and provide dinner to a juvenile detention center.
If you're looking for another way to get involved as a family, we have a packing day where we all come together and we pack the gifts that we are going to be giving to the families and to all of our outreach programs.
So it is required that you register, so you can call the church offices and get all the information and register your families there. Thank you, Rock Church, for getting involved. We love you. Let's continue to love people back to life. Bye, Rock Church.
Ladies, head out to the tent or head to womenrock.us. Get your tickets early because, man, that thing could sell out. You want to make sure to get your ticket and get in the building. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful Christmas extravaganza, as the ladies always have each and every year. You guys sang so beautifully. Thank you for my birthday songs. Love you guys so much. Looking forward to greeting some of you guys at the back door. Before we dismiss, though, I want to make sure that your heart and life is right with Jesus before we leave. I want to make sure that if you died and that today was your last day, that you wouldn't end up in hell, but that you would go to heaven. You know, we talked about through the message this process that you can't save yourself. It has to be a work that God does on your behalf. You cannot save yourself. You can't be good enough, smart enough, nice enough, pretty enough to work your way into heaven. You can't do enough good deeds or attend enough church. Sometimes people think because their parents told them they were Christians growing up or because they went to religious classes or wore religious jewelry or a t-shirt that said Jesus, that that's going to get them into heaven, when nothing could be further from the truth. You can't be good enough. You can't attend enough church. You can't know enough. Sometimes people think, well, I know God. I know the scriptures. I could quote scriptures. Yeah, the devil can quote scriptures. He's not going to heaven. It shows us it's not about what you do. It's not about your church attendance or involvement. It's not about what you know, the scriptures that you can memorize or quote, things that you know about God, but rather it's about what's happened in your heart. Jesus called it being born again. We talked about that cutting away of the old man. There has to be a separation from your old life. There has to be a moment that you surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus. And as you surrender, God comes in and does the work on the inside of you to make you new, to raise you again to life with Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And that is something that happens when you simply surrender. Today, I want to give you an opportunity. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand in this microphone. Bang, just like that. And when you hear the sound of my hand popping that microphone, bang, you need to get right with God. I want you to just simply slip your hand up in the air. What you're doing by raising your hand is you're making the statement, I want to be born again, headed for heaven, deny my presence in hell. Because you realize, man, I can't make it on my own. I can't do this on my own. And if I died, I'd make it to hell. I wouldn't make it to heaven. Or if I die, I don't know where I'd be. And I want to make sure that that place would be heaven. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. You say, Pastor, I'll be embarrassed if you point and count and expose me in front of all these people. Listen, yeah, you might be embarrassed for a moment. That's okay. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. It's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing, and you made a choice. You've denied him. Or how about this? You know you need to acknowledge him. Get your hand up real high. Don't let the devil talk you out of this. Tell that devil to go jump in a fiery lake. You're not listening to him. You're listening to God today. Don't think, well, Pastor, I've got more time. Let me go out there and have my fun, and then I'll come to God. You know, We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed this moment. We're all one accident, one incident, one bomb, one virus, one breath away from eternity. Jesus could come back at any moment. You need to give God all of your heart, all of your life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. This is your time. This is your moment. Some of you might say, but Pastor, I prayed a prayer. Isn't that enough? Well, no. Did you follow it up with all of your heart and all of your life? Because if not, it's not going to make it. God listens to the words of your mouth, and he watches your life to see if it follows. And if it doesn't, you're not going to make it. See, Pastor, I feel so bad. I'm so guilty. I'm so under such condemnation. You don't know the things I've done. Let me clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, no, no. You come to God and he'll clean you up from the inside out. You can't cut away those things on your own. You need the help of God. Just like you heard the story of Eustace as a dragon, you might be feeling like a dragon. You might be feeling like you're so bad, like one of Satan's kids. And yet God says, if you'll come to me, I can cut that away and I can make you new again. But you got to come to him. You got to surrender. Simply surrender and let him do the work in you. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. You need to get your hand up. Who should raise your hand if you've been running from God instead of to God? I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure today. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before, never given God all of your heart, never given God all of your life? I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're in this place today and you backslidden, you found yourself in places you never thought you'd be, doing things you never thought you'd do. Or maybe you just grew apathetic and you just kind of slowed down and got stagnant. You're lukewarm. Jesus said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. That shows me that half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. And you need to get right with God today. I'm going to count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. You know who you are. Get ready to get your hands up both live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one, two, three. Got you right there. There's four. Thank you. God bless you. There's five up top. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. Six, seven, eight right here. Yes. God bless you guys. Nine in the family room. I got you over there. Yep. Yep. There's 10 way up on top. I got you. Thank you. There's 10 wise people. If I saw your hand, you're welcome to put it down. I don't want you to get tired. But if I have not seen your hand yet, get it up real high when I'm looking your direction. Is there anybody else? Need to surrender to God all of your heart? Need to surrender. There's 11 right there. Yeah. Need to surrender to God all of your life. There's 12 up top. Got you right there. Thank you. Yes, I got you right there. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else real quick? Just want to make sure that we don't miss you. There's 12 wise people already. There's 13 right here. Excellent. Best choice of your life right there. My goodness, it's so good. It's so good. Is there anybody else? Just want to make sure. Anybody else real quick? Anybody else? Let's go for God today if that's you. Anybody else? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for about 12 or 13 wise people. Amen. Now, all of you that raised your hand and those of you that should have raised your hand but you didn't, I believe that there's at least seven more of you that you're just sitting there turmoiling on the inside and going, man, I should have done that, and you're beating yourself up. Hey, it's not too late. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend of you, a friend. Why don't you get in the aisle and meet me up front, because we're going to change destinies right here at the altar today. Let's all stand. No one leaves during this time. Let's let them come. And if you raise your hand, your friend raised their hand, you should have raised your hand but you didn't, come on. Just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on. Parents, bring your children. They'll remember this. It's okay. Come on out of the family rooms. Whole families can come right now. Come on down. Come on down right now. They're coming. Let's give them a hand. Come on. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet us up front right now. Come on down. They're still coming. Come on, even from the family rooms, from the foyer, front to back, left to right, wherever you're at. Come on, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, meet me up front right now. Come on down. If you're out there and you're wondering if you should, or come on, just take the first step. The rest will be easy. Come on down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Come on, church family, nudge your neighbor, be that full-time minister. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, go with you. Then bring them. Come on, bring them. They need to come. Come on. Well, hey, thank God you guys have come. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. I know that can sound heavy, but it's absolutely true. This is the best thing that you can do, because you're leaving the past behind, and now you got a future with God. Now, like we talked about, you need to be faith-filled, but also faithful. That speaks to consistency. You need to keep coming to church, keep praying to God, just talking to God every day. Reading your Bible, just listening for the Word of God, building faith. In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming to church. Keep coming as much as you can. You get just Sunday morning, 11 o'clock service, come, all right? But my goodness, we got 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night at 7, Thursday morning for the ladies, Friday night for the young adults. We've got all kinds of opportunities for you to get stronger in the ways of the Lord. If you'll keep coming consistently as much as you can over this next year, I guarantee you next year, November 3rd, man, you won't be celebrating me. You'll be celebrating your spiritual birthday going, wow, look at the change that God has done in my life. Come on. It's going to be amazing. With those thoughts in mind, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. You're going to be born again, made brand new. God's going to do a miracle on the inside of you. It's awesome, and it's amazing. Everybody's going to join in together with you. I'm going to give you short, simple phrases to say. I want you to make them your own. If you mess up on some words because it's hard to hear up here, I get it. Don't worry about it. It's not about the words of your mouth. It's about the expression of your heart right now. Even online, come on, if you're giving your heart to the Lord, pray this prayer with us. Let's all bow our heads. Let's close our eyes and say these words out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he came and died for my sin and was raised again to life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past and give me a future with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me for the rest of my days. Because from now on, I am a Christian. I'm born again, headed for heaven, denying hell. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you guys. Now listen, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I needed a friend to come and help encourage me, teach me some things out of the Bible, pray with me, that sort of a thing. I could ask questions and just grow, all right? I needed someone to come alongside me and help me out. We want to give you that same opportunity and that same help. So my friend over here, Pastor Joel, really good guy. Nothing weird's going to go on. He's going to give you some free information, free literature. He's going to connect you with some wonderful people that we have here. Take a couple minutes of your time, and then he'll let you go. It's easy. It's free. So just make a left turn and follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Hallelujah. Online, those of you that prayed that prayer with us, just hang with us after we dismiss, and there'll be some information available for you as well. And know that we love you, and we're believing God for great things in your life. If you're in the area, come on out in person, and we would love to give you that help here live. Hey, reminder, tonight, 6 p.m., I'm excited to hear the word. Pastor Joseph is bringing the word, but it doesn't matter who's in the pulpit. Man, it's the word of God, and your faith is going to be built, so you can continue to be faithful, keeping the commandments of God. Let me bless you as you go. Would you lift your hands, Lord? Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith, out loud on purpose, that the imminent empire shall be saved.
For joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend, a spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.